There's a prayer that Paul prays. We're going much deeper today, okay? So there's a prayer that Paul prays, and it's Philippians 1, and he prays here in verse 9 onwards, and this is my prayer. He says here, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. See, this is the depth we're going in all the time, in knowledge. Fascinating that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. It's such a profound truth. You're speaking about what the Holy Spirit reveals, revealing Jesus to us all the time. And we find there, as God reveals, there's this love for Him, because it cannot be disjointed at all. It goes as one. And he prays here, that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So our love is not just, has got no substance to it. There's a revelation, there's depth of insight of the love of God, rooted and established in Him, and knowing and responding and loving from that place. So that you may be able to discern what is best. He's speaking about the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the truth of God in the context of what is light. So that you may discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Now verse 11 is what God's inviting us into, the revelation, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So we're dealing with a righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, and the fruit of that righteousness, that we may live in that reality. And that's what today God wants to just invite us into. And so may the Holy Spirit really just open up our understanding to that. What we have been doing over the past few weeks is we are understanding, when Jesus says that we are light in this world, what does that mean? What's the impact? What does it look like? And how do we live as children of light in our Lord Jesus Christ? So we're looking at very practical ways on how we live as light in world. Darkness is anything that's outside of God. God is light. So anything that's not in Him, through Jesus Christ, that's darkness. So it's sin, it's the demonic realm, it's all of that is what will be classified as darkness. Okay, and so we've been learning, and we've been going through quite a lot of what that means, how to live as children of light. And a portion of scripture we've been focusing on recently is found in Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 8, and we're reading, in the first few verses is speaking about when we were still in darkness, how we used to live, what was the fruit of that darkness, the lifestyle of living outside of light, because we had not yet encountered Jesus Christ. And so, for you were once darkness, and we acknowledge that that's who we were, but now, and this is what we are saying, we are acknowledging the fact now, because by the Holy Spirit, God is real to us, the Father is real, the Son is real, the Holy Spirit's real to us. It's not just a doctrine, but God is very real, and there's a deep relationship. Then you know that you are a child of God. But now you are light. And so we've made that statement, we've made that agreement, we've accepted the fact, I used to be darkness, I used to live in darkness, but now no longer, that's not me anymore. So I've made my stand, I've made my choice based on truth. This is who I am. I'm a child of light in Christ Jesus. And therefore, now that I've made that decision of who I am, my identity as a child of light, I now begin to have an understanding on how to live as a children of light. If you don't know that you are South African, you may try and live like a New Zealander, you know. And then, okay, so you've got to know that you are a child of God so that you can live as a child of God. Before, we used to live as a child of darkness, and that was a different lifestyle, a way of thinking and everything. But the miracle of being born again is we're taken out of darkness, we are placed into the kingdom of light. And so we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And that's crucial. We are light in the Lord because Jesus is the light. Okay. We are light in the Lord. Therefore, live as children of light. And that's the continuous reality. And it's, remember what we shared when we speak about live as children of light. It's not, it's something that has happened when we got born again. Now we've got to now bring that happening of being born again into our present day reality. That's what live as means. Okay. So we bringing what it is to be light in our present day reality, wherever we are, where we live, etc. And then Paul then opens up, what is this incredible light that we're speaking about? Because this light has a fruit. This light is tangible. This light is not hidden. This light people can experience, they can taste, they can know what light's all about. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so we've been focusing on that, and as we've been sharing, we've only got our human definitions of what is goodness, what is right in the eyes of God, and what is truth. And it depends on culture, upbringing, history, all of that there determines what we consider to be good for me. Not good for you, but it's good for me, and that's my definition of goodness. Okay, so if God's blessing me and I've got nice material blessings, God is good. That person suffering there in poverty, God's not good. You know, and so we've got a real skewed up definition of God's goodness. And so the only way we can begin to know what God's goodness is being in relationship with a good God. And as we are in a relationship with God who is good, we then begin to participate in His goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And then we begin to get a better understanding of what this goodness of God is all about. So that's a, as I shared, how wide is the love of God? How deep? The same with His goodness. How wide is God's goodness? How deep is God's goodness? We need the Holy Spirit to give us the revelation of God's goodness that bypasses our human definition. Okay. And so we begin to move and grow in that. So all of us are on this journey of discovering in an amazing way what God's goodness is all about. And it's an exciting journey and unlearning a lot of stuff that we determined was good. And we're starting to realize, wow, God, in all things you don't change, you are good. And to get that rooted in us, established in us, that God is good, and it suddenly begins to open up. And in this reality of knowing by Spirit of God, revelation, truth of God's goodness, we are able then to have access to receive the miraculous reality. We are able to have understanding of how to receive what Christ has done in His death and resurrection. And it just opens up so much for us to be able to live as children of light. So we've been speaking a lot of that, and we're going to continue quite a bit. And so then we began to look at righteousness. And that's where we sort of gave an introduction last week of this righteousness that we're speaking about. And we saw there that righteousness that we're speaking about is that which is right in the eyes of God. So it's really dealing a lot with our sort of moral behavior, how we behave with one another, how we relate with God, all these kind of things. So we saw there that what has God's approval, that's one aspect, and then how to live a life that continuously has God's approval. So there's a righteousness that we receive by faith, okay, but there's also a righteousness in how we live, a lifestyle that really shines the fact that we have been justified. And so we looked at that last week, so just to recap for the guys over here that are joining us this morning. So when we began to look in Romans chapter 1 and we started to really spend time in what is the good news of God, the good news is His Son Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. And that's why all the time Jesus is trying, people always try and bring Jesus down one way or the other, because the devil doesn't want us to know the good news. But praise God, the Holy Spirit just breaks through that deception because He is the Spirit of truth. the spirit of what is real, what is factual concerning God. And so we looked at this verse 16 and 17, and let me just read it again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that's the good news of God, because it is a power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For in the gospel, in this good news of God, a righteousness from God is revealed. So this righteousness that Paul is speaking about, that in Christ Jesus, is something that we cannot go to the supermarket to buy. It's not a set of rules and regulations to obey to, now I know I'm righteous. It's something that God reveals in and through His Son Jesus. So this righteousness is concerning His righteous Son. It's what His Son Jesus has done for us that we now by faith receive as a gift. So we're speaking about a gift from God. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So here we have, as I shared last Sunday, here we have sort of a real foundational truth. As we started to look at what light consists of all righteousness, God is light. So this righteousness, God is righteous in everything that He does. In all His dealing with mankind, God is always doing that is right in His eyes. See, that foundation is huge to live in. Because all of a sudden, you'll begin to be able to not see things taking place and say, well, God, you're not good. God, how can you allow this? How can you allow that? When you're rooted and established in the fact that God is good, God is righteous, everything that God is doing in His relationship with mankind is from that foundation that He is a good God, and what He's doing is actually right in His eyes. He is righteous. The righteous will live by faith, not by sight. See, and so if we don't understand this foundational truth of righteousness, we will always battle in trying to interpret life around us. And it's really a wobbly. And you'll see now as we go into this. So we began to look at that there. And as we saw last week, that when we're speaking about righteous, first of all, it's a legal thing that's taking place. So God, as the righteous judge, He examines all the facts of humanity. And like in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, He says, I've examined humanity, there's no one righteous, not one. Okay, so He's examined. And then He gives the verdict. And the verdict is, there's no one righteous, not one, but He doesn't stop over there. Because then He comes and He speaks about His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, but now there's a righteousness that you can now receive by faith in My Son, Jesus. And so, all of a sudden, we start to see the gospel of God, the good news of God, that the verdict is that we've all messed up. All of us, and we can go into the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, because the root of right, trying to live right, is based in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not in the tree of life. Okay? But we won't go into that this morning. But so we have this fact over here that God looks and He says to all of us, guys, guilty as charged, no one's righteous, but I've got good news for you. The incredible good news is that I'm sending My Son Jesus Christ, and He's going to be living a life that has My approval. Whatever He does, whatever He says, everything that My Son will be doing, He will be doing that which is right in My eyes. You cannot do it, because I love you all, and I don't want you to be separated from Me. I want you to be in the realm of My love and to participate as Me as a Father and to experience My life and to experience the abundance of life. I'm going to send My Son, and He's going to do what you could not do. See, that's part of the good news. So Jesus now lives His life, and He lives a life totally, as I said, doing that was right in the eyes of His Father. Never deviating from that. Totally sinless. Pure. He is light. Okay? In Him, righteousness is being revealed. Goodness is being revealed. Truth is being revealed. The fruit of all of that. And so we looked at that over then. So in Christ's death, as we shared last time over there, that now He took our place. So now, we by faith, simply believing We have been credited righteous. So as we look there in Romans chapter 4, when Abraham simply believed the promise of God, God credited his righteousness to Abraham. And then he continues to explain that for you and I. So when you and I just, that moment when God became real to us, that moment when Jesus became real to us, and we, oh Lord, you are real. It's no longer a fridge magnet. It's no longer what people say. It's not my parents' religion. But you are real. The moment we just, you are real and we believed, all of a sudden, Christ's righteousness, because now faith we received, Christ's righteousness now was, it was a transaction and it was transferred into our account as people. So now we have been declared righteous. Christ's righteousness now belongs to you and I. We live by faith in the fact that Christ's righteousness is our righteousness. That's the gift of righteousness that we speak about. So in Romans, for instance, Romans chapter 5, let me just read you that over there, where Paul is speaking about this incredible righteousness. And he says, verse 15, "But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and all that gift that came by grace." So he has a gift that we received by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one man and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Very important. Let me go to verse 21. So that just as sin reigned, sin ruled, sin was the king over our lives before this, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now all of a sudden we've received the gift of righteousness. From God's perspective, he's declared us not guilty because we are now in his son Jesus. We are in the realm of light. Not guilty. Now, he goes on and he says, now that you've received the gift, there is a way to live a righteous life. How? Well, grace reigns through righteousness. So now that you've received the gift of righteousness, now my grace can reign through your life. See, if we bypass the gift of righteousness, it's a grace gift. If we bypass this grace realm that we've now entered into, then we're going to battle doing ourselves, trying to live a righteous life, and we're denying the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing about the incredible changes and the transformation that takes place. And that's when we start to use all kinds of Christian laws and Christian rules to improve the quality of our life. All of that, you're bypassing this incredible grace that flows through the gift of righteousness. That's how we live righteously. Okay. And this is so, so important for you and I to grasp. So Paul writes there in verse 1, chapter 5, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, okay? So because we simply believed, the righteousness of God was now transferred into our lives. So God thinks, because that word credited also refers to the way one thinks. So God thinks about us not guilty. That's how God views us. We are children of light in his son Jesus. That's God's, how he's going to be relating with us all the time now. He's going to be relating with us from that place. I know, this is how I think about you guys. You are light in my son Jesus. Okay. And that's why Paul writes in chapter 8, there's no more condemnation. There's still the discipline that takes place, but there's no more condemnation. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, faith is this gift that God gave us. We heard God became real. That was the gift of faith that comes from God to us. We have peace with God. So all of a sudden now, it's brought us into the reality of having peace with God. So that's what it is to be a child of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. And this is a key verse for us that God's going to inviting us into now. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So this is how we're going to shine as light, children of light. Because we simply believed, now we have gained access. This word gain access is speaking about face to face interaction with God. You and I have that now. We're no longer enemies. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Now that we have peace with God, we're now able to enter into face to face with God and now receive His incredible help. Everything from God's side flowing into our lives so that we are able now to live as children of light. To live a life that has God's approval through His Son Jesus Christ. Okay. In some Christian terminology, we call that sanctification. But listen to what he says over here. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Have you ever thought about what that means? Have you ever thought that now that I simply believe God in His grace opened up the scriptures and Jesus became real and I accepted Him, now I've entered into this realm of grace? In other words, everything, all the fruitfulness, all the fruit of Christ's righteousness, you and I have entered into to be able to receive the fruit of all of Christ's righteousness. That's why in Philippians 1, verse 9 and 10, that prayer, that God will open up our understanding, and He speaks about so that we may begin to understand and receive the fruit of righteousness. All the fruit of righteousness of Jesus, so that we can start to live in the reality of that fruitfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit needs to open this up, because it's still a veil. This journey in understanding the fruit that you and I have access now into Christ's righteousness, the fruit of all of that. Just try to think, what do you mean, Jesus? Your fruit of righteousness. I'm now in you. So all the fruit, not only the fact that I have eternal life, not only the fact now that the Holy Spirit is in me, now Abba Father, this sonship, not only the reality of experiencing the power of your death and resurrection, a reality in my life that I can live a righteous life. Not only the fact of the fruit of your righteousness now, Father, that I can live at peace with you. I can know you. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. You love me. You take deep delight in me. And we can go on and on and on and on as the Holy Spirit takes us into not the knowledge, but into the reality of living in this truth of Christ's fruit, His righteousness. And we now live in the benefits. We live in the fruit of His righteousness. That's big. And may God, as I said, Holy Spirit, open us, give us a revelation, take us into this truth of what it means to live in Christ's righteousness. Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 1, and we've read this many times, but now bring it into the context of what God is opening up to us here. Praise be to God, verse 3. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we still moan. We still groan. We still struggle so much. Let's stop. because Holy Spirit is going to open this up for us to know what this truth means. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, it's not he will be, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You and I now are learning how to participate in the fruit of Christ's righteousness. By faith, we have received the gift of righteousness, his righteousness. So we start to learn how to live in that truth. So, that's life-changing. Extremely life-changing for us. Now, as we saw there that grace reigns through righteousness, now we are starting to see, Lord, let me go back to Galatians first of all. This is the foundation here. Galatians 2. Again, we read this and everybody's got the fridge magnet of this, where Paul is speaking to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And there's that conflict now where Peter is eating with the Gentiles and then the Jews come in and then Peter then goes to one side. And so Paul was speaking about this. And he goes on and he says over here, let me read here from verse 17, or let me go verse 15. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, again, this justification, this righteousness is by faith in his son Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And then he carries on and he says over there, for through the law, I died to the law. In other words, what Paul is saying here, that the law requires that I've got to live 100% to be declared righteous. And only the righteous, he's a Pharisee, only the righteous will have resurrection. And I realize, as Paul, as I walk there, that this law has condemned me because it made me so aware of my sin. There's no ways I'm going to live. Maybe for one second I live righteously. I do what was right in the eyes of God, but then tomorrow is another story. So I've died. I'm not going to be raised from the dead. I've died to this law. Okay. And then he carries on and he says, but let's carry on. And he goes on and he says, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So here again, we see the reality of Paul trying his best to live a righteous life. So in today's context, you've got to read the Bible, you've got to pray, you've got to tithe, you've got to do these good works, you've got all this list that's what a Christian's all about. And you've got all these things that you've got to do. If you do these things, God's happy. Okay? That's religion. Okay? But now we see, wow, but Jesus, you've fulfilled all of that. You lived a perfect life, and I simply believe. Nothing more, nothing. I'm not adding anything to try and bring about what I have done in order to be approved. It's exactly, it's totally what you have done, and simply just receive and believe that. So as I receive and believe that, what's taking place? Now, I've been crucified with Christ Jesus. See, I'm identifying that I've died with Jesus, that old Adam man that lived trying to be right with God. That old Adam man has been crucified. And now I'm a new creation in Christ. So I've been raised with Jesus to live this new life. And as I've been raised with Christ, I'm in the fullness of all the fruit of his righteousness. And now I'm able to live a life by faith. And to see the reality of the outworking in my life of what the righteousness of Christ is all about. It's a journey, it's a discovery. So when Paul is writing to the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, and he's speaking about the spiritual gifts, what does he say? He goes on and he says, just as Christ has apportioned it, some this, some that, some that, some that, some that. Because we get confused and we say to ourselves, I have the fullness of Christ as an individual. Speaking to the body. We have the fullness of Christ, the body of Christ. So as Christ has portioned that all of a sudden what happens as we all grow in unity and keeping the peace and etc. and love, so that we the body, this incredible all being baptized by the Spirit into the Father. There's one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit. We've been baptized into that. All of a sudden now, in the most incredible way, the different aspects of the fruitfulness of Christ's righteousness begins to shine through the body of Christ, so that the body can move into the fullness of Christ Jesus. It's big. It's huge. And now when we begin to look and you're starting to pray, we will get to the application maybe in a week or two's time. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. This is the foundation that's going to help us to pray prayers that is powerful and effective as we pray for our nations. Because we now are being established of what does it mean to be able to pray in the benefit and the fruit of Christ's righteousness. He died for all. What does it mean to begin to have faith in what Christ has already done in His death and resurrection? And to pray from that place of His incredible fruitfulness of His righteousness and not my own good works. Because do you want your prayers to be answered? You need to fast 40 days. And then you're going to have a prayer life like you've never had before. Works, 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 works. You see? And then you get disappointed because, man, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and that, and that. If the Spirit leads you to fast, you go. But it's not there to have a better prayer life. Christ is the intercessor. You want a better prayer life? In Jesus. He is the great intercessor. Simply believe and begin to live in the reality of the fruit of Christ's righteousness. He's every yes, every promise is yes in Jesus. You see what we're talking about here? We don't want to be praying for a nation and we're not rooted in the fact of the gift of righteousness and the fruit of His righteousness, that we can pray from the foundation of grace. We have access so that as we pray in the name of Jesus, we are praying knowing the righteousness of Jesus, what the fruit is for our land. There's the prayer that's going to shape and change South Africa. Not the prayer of panic. Not the prayer of fear. Not the prayer of hopelessness. Not the prayer of, oh God, please. You know, no, it's a prayer of authority. Because we're stepping into what Christ has done in His death and resurrection, the centrality of the cross. We're beginning to be able to decree based on the fruit of His righteousness as we live by faith. No longer I who live. But the life I live by faith in Christ, who's alive in me. And there you start to see. And that's why what God is busy doing is not just speaking to us about being light for the sake of being light. This nation needs the children of God to live as light. This nation needs the children of God to be able to pray as children of light, to be able to speak as children of light, to be able to live as children of light. Because light overpowers darkness. Light exposes darkness. It exposes the secrets of darkness. And if the body of Christ, we're not living as children of light, darkness still rules and reigns like crazy. If the body of Christ has not yet learned how to be able to be in the realm of grace so that grace reigns through the gift of righteousness and we start to live righteously, because it becomes the power of God working within us, it empowers us to live a righteous life, free from trying to do it in our own DIY abilities, but living in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the law of the Spirit of life is working, no longer the law of sin and death. Romans 8, we've gone through this. But guys, this is the time for the body of Christ, for us, to know how to pray for a nation. To know how to stand in the gift of righteousness. Because the people need believers to be able to stand based on the finished work of Jesus, and that so you pray in the gift with the gift of righteousness. What does Jesus say? When I leave, the Spirit of God will convict people of unbelief and righteousness. There's a powerful truth and of judgment. There's a powerful truth here. So when we're going to now learn what it means as we start to pray based on the fruit of Christ's righteousness, now we know, Holy Spirit, you're going to convict. You're going to do amazing work. Because that's part of the fruit of Christ's obedience, was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Part of the fruit of Christ's obedience was to convict the world of their unbelief. It's all part of these fruits. The fruit of righteousness. So, if you, this, you'll see, as the Holy Spirit takes you in, you're gonna explode. You will experience what it is to live as a parent, to live as a husband and wife, to live in the reality of Christ's fruit of righteousness. You simply believe, you experience the grace of God flowing through you. It empowers us to be husband and wife, child, parent, etc., etc. Because now there's a power of God operating, the law of the Spirit of life, Romans 8 verse 2, is really at hand in us. The fruit of the Spirit. You walk in step with the Holy Spirit, you will not gratify the fruit of Christ's righteousness. So, we don't no longer eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then we have our own definition of what good and evil is. In Christ we partake in the tree of life and we eat the fruit of life, His righteousness, His goodness, His truth. Amen. So as I said, God wants to take us deeper, and it's for a very specific purpose right now. It's for the destiny of our nation. And we will learn how to appropriate this in our prayer life. As the righteous men and women pray, prayers that are powerful and effective. Good stuff. Father, we want to thank you as we just come and eat together with your Son, Jesus Christ. It's such a joy, Lord, that even as we have the communion, we are experiencing the fruit of your righteousness because we have been given eternal life. And we want to thank you. I ask, Father, and I think we're all in agreement, we ask that through your Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit, open righteousness up to us as you are opening up what goodness is all about. We receive, Holy Spirit, your ministry, and we say, yes, lead us into all truth. Take us deeper into the truth of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We want to live in the fruit of His righteousness. We want to bring our families into the fruit of His righteousness. We want to bring our nation into the fruit of His righteousness. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, lead us into the truth found in Christ Jesus. So Father, thank you. As we have communion, we want to thank you for how you unveil and how you open things up for us. And I want to thank you, Father, by your Spirit, as again, this is being released. And I just thank you that it, by incredible grace flowing, there will be such an impartation, things being established, so that our life will really come into the reality of what it means to live as children of light and what righteousness is all about. So today I thank you because, Lord, grace is breaking chains. Because, oh Father, this gift of righteousness and this grace that is the King, it's the ruler over sin because of the gift of righteousness. So thank you, we receive this incredible grace of yours from your heart, breaking the chains, breaking the the barriers, breaking just the addictions, breaking the conflicts, breaking the things in our lives that has been holding us down and destroying us and taking us down and bringing us into a place of we don't like ourselves. But I want to thank you, Father, for the effect of your Son's righteousness and the grace that reigns through it. So we receive this reigning grace of yours, Father, to live a righteous life. We receive from you, Father, as a gift, this grace of yours that just empowers us to live, to be able to enable us to be children of light in a dark world. And we thank you for that. We receive this grace of yours, Father, that opens up the reality of hearing your voice, because that's part of the fruit of Christ's righteousness, is total reconciliation, sons and daughters of yours, Father, to hear you, to be face to face, to interact with one another in the realm of peace because of the fruit of Christ's righteousness. So I want to thank you, Father, as we sang that song, that by your incredible ability that you will enable us to never turn our face away, but to keep on just beholding you, keep on being in an intimate relationship with you. Today, Father, as we've had much rain over this last week or so, I want to thank you that through Jesus we receive every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. By faith we take hold of that and we will start to walk, opening it up, experiencing the fullness of your Son's death and resurrection, his righteousness. And we thank you. Father, we ask by your Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth, empower us in renewing our mind, empowering us to be able to take thoughts captive that contradicts us, so that all the time we will just, Lord, this is what you're sharing, and we'll take one step at a time with you, Holy Spirit, step by step. So thank you. So our Lord Jesus, thank you as we sit with you and we just celebrate your life. We celebrate your victory. We celebrate that joy of yours. We celebrate your resurrection. We celebrate your ascension. We celebrate, Lord Jesus, that you are seated there in the right hand of the Father, and we are seated with you in the heavenly realms. We celebrate the abundant life that you have given us. We celebrate the fact that not only with us as we testify and witness, but Holy Spirit will also testify and witness concerning you, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that you have enabled us to be born in a time like this. You placed us in a country in a time like this, Lord. This is just the right time for us to be alive, because this was your perfect will for our lives. So we celebrate the joy of being light in a nation. And we thank you for the breakthrough and the victory that we're starting to see taking place. And we give you the praise and glory. And this, Father, we ask and we thank you through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah.